Welcome everyone, this is Nashawa Anderson, I'm your host for my podcast show, and today we're going to be focusing on Mahogany Part 8. So Happy New Year, I appreciate y'all coming back with my Season 7, I am so thankful. Okay, we're going to do some lot of things this particular season as we get into it, up to my finale. So today we're going to look into Mahogany. This is part 8. We're going to go back to where we left off. It is during the time of the Harlem Renaissance. So you've been following me for a while now. This is my 7th season. How y'all doing over there? Okay. I was the Sweet 101 editor for the Harlem Renaissance. My first gig. I was so happy. And with that, I really got involved in all research of the players in the Harlem Renaissance and the talent. And so here we're dealing with a family there in New York where the Harlem Renaissance basically took off, and W.B. Du Bois was a part of that creation and that leadership team that brought that talent to the forefront. But this particular story deals with the family. They own a restaurant and that the soul is attached to a brownstone back in that time, and they have a daughter and she just have to go to college, which she really wanted to travel and be a singer. So that's kind of really the wrap up of where we've been from part 1 that I started this up into now part 8 here going in season 7. And before I get that, let's go over a couple of things. If you love this production, go ahead and buy you a t-shirt or brand one of my merchandise on Molay.com. Definitely check out my other brand. It deals with body oils and luxury healing. That's MolayBeauty.com. And my NFTs, if you want to go ahead and invest in that, it tells you your daily horoscope, your numerology and astrology. You want to get up on that, go ahead and go to MolayWorld.com. All right, between those three, you better know what all was going on with me. Besides that, go and check out my Discord as well. That link will be in the description, okay? So let's talk about Mahogany Part 8. Before I get there, let's see here. Last episode. So the last episode, that's where I had returned back Nahar and Princess Aminia, the journeys of them, future series, and that title was And Whom Is This? The Ma But Another. So this one right here, I'm going to be focusing on, of course, a different story, but that's what was going on last month. And that's when Nahar and all that good stuff, you know, still loving on Aminia and dealing with Damar all up in their business, okay? Do check that out and share it. So let's go ahead and return back to Harlem. And let's begin. For my podcast show, Nashawa Anderson, Short Stories and Beyond, with this part 8, Mahogany. Season 7. Can I get a Opening scene. Within the hills of Atlanta, Georgia, the time when the sound of the South nestled oh so motionless, waiting for the chorus line from up north in Harlem, we see a quiet street with so many trees, but newer houses as dormitories for the all-Negro African-American Women College. Some houses were painted a soft medley of pink and brown teal that encouraged new ideas and new hope, and more importantly, a new possible adventure, if those would give the chance to start something anew. Suddenly, we hear an automobile of silver and white drove up in front of the third house on the street of students' dormitories. The hood sparkled and danced in the wind that lifted up to catch the next one, and the doors opened to reveal Jules, the daughter of Bill and her mother, Wills Williams, upstate in New York there. Wide-brimmed hat slanted to hide her disappointment being in a southern city as she stepped out of the automobile. With no hope to return to Harlem anytime soon, she had met a driver arranged by her parents and the college dorm lead maiden. The driver was young, a young man about Jewel's age, but of mixed race as though from Puerto Rico, Mexico, or maybe African of the Disparera. She wasn't sure. He seemed to smile often and then hide it, as only looking into her eyes briefly as he quickly brought around her suitcases. Jules had on a new dress, as the train one before had many stops, and she was able to change clothes and freshen up as much as possible, as well as had an earlier lunch often during the days of her way down south to Atlanta, Georgia. She put close her journal of notes that kept her from not being so sad of a new life journey here in the South, here in Georgia. Atlanta. She didn't reach for her carrying bag and purse as she nodded to the driver to be polite, even though she wanted to stay quiet. Just then, the dorm maiden walked out of the house, smiling so nicely, like a mother that was so pleased to see her daughter. Then she went to go think about her father. But the dorm maiden went up to Jules and gave her a big hug. Jules felt to cry as she hugged her back. Her name was Olasa Brown, and she walked Jules to the front door, and they went inside as the driver continued to get the rest of her luggage and her suitcases there. The house smelled of lively lavender and daffodils, with a very large living room, and an open bay window. Miss Brown showed Jules' room on the first living quarters of the rooms of the other college students, which seemed adjoining to three of all the levels as the door opened up, showing a large bed quarters, a table and a chair with fresh lemonade was on the nearby near the door there. And then the only big wide enough to peer through window was directly in front of Jules, as she can see out there overlooking the street there below. There was a large multicolored floor rug that centered everything in that room that somehow reminded her of the adjoining room back home in the mahogany in Harlem, that she refrained of showing any type of sentiment by smiling at Miss Brown, continuing to speak of the usual daily activities. And that other young woman, as she was in the market, they were, would be back home soon, around late evening for their dinner, supper, and she would introduce her then, as the weekend before, you know, school, Monday. Always made the girls want to go shopping, buying cute things for classes, Miss Brown shared, smiling a little bit. And just then, as Jules was swept away, looking out the window, Miss Brown must have called her name to get her attention more than once. But she didn't hear it at first, but then she did. All of a sudden, she heard her name being called by Miss Brown. So Jules held back a tear and didn't realize that the driver was entering the dorm room, dropping off the bags when she turned around to face Miss Brown. He started to talk to Miss Brown for a few moments, and then she called his name, Yanman. Yanman, you can return to pick up Mr. Brown around 2 before picking up the rest of them town. The other girls should be ready, finish shopping. Yes, ma'am. I definitely do that. I would definitely get on top of that and pick up Mr. Brown and the other ones. He was about to leave when Jules finally spoke. I thank you for your assistance, Yanman. It's much appreciated. She looked at him for a moment and then away. He blushed and tipped his hat before quickly leaving the ladies alone to finish talking. So he headed downstairs. Then Miss Brown felt that Jules were feeling not all too well connecting to her new life here. So she spoke softly to concern her as they could hear the car drove off down the street with the loud radio of Betsy singing the blues. Now, Jules, would you like to call home to your family or friends? I can arrange that if you like, Miss Brown asked. Jules didn't turn around, still watching the sporty car sped off with Yen, enjoying the melodies of the blues bouncing around, still lingering into the surroundings of them. That's what she wanted to do. But instead, here she is, going to college. Jules didn't spoke softly. Later. Insane.